Blog Talk Radio.
God bless each and every one of you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Prodigal Church Hour. And God is the one that we should put our whole trust in. He tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we're commanded to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understandings, and all our ways acknowledge Him, and He should direct our path. But we must give ourselves to Him. We must surrender our will so that we can have His will and that we will walk in His ways. Amen. I am so glad to be here, friends. Thank you guys for being here and for your support, for your prayers, for your financial giving. God bless each and every one of you. Let's go before the Lord, and we'll have some quick announcements, and then we'll get right into Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. I mean, part 1. We're only going to cover about 15 verses of this today, and we'll come back maybe tomorrow. I think I'll probably come back tomorrow about 2 or 3 o'clock, and we'll finish up Proverbs 20. I'm trying to get this, I know some of you people are anxious to get to Proverbs 31, and it's going to take a minute for us to get there, because I sometimes see topical messages that we should cover and talk about for us to be wise, because we're looking for wisdom. And you know, you could spend a year alone in Proverbs and never ever really you could just scratch the surface of it. But I'm so grateful for God just using me, and I thank you guys for praying and for your support and for being here. And I want to just say, you know, let us trust in the Lord. Let us trust in the Lord. Give ourselves, give him all of us, so he will give us all of him. No matter what you're going through, with all the storms of life that you may be going through, God will never leave his children. He will never leave you or forsake you. But the issue is, will you leave him? Will you forsake him? And that's where we have to own our own mess and confess and get up and get back on track. Amen. Let's go before the Lord. Father God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you this beautiful day in sunny Southern California. I don't know where everybody else is, Lord, but you've given us this day, Lord, and we thank you for it, Lord. And we just ask, Lord God, as you continue to just show us through the book of wisdom of Proverbs, Lord, how we are to live our lives and conduct our lives under your word and walking according to your will and your way. That we can be wise and we can be men and women of godly character, men and women who are being molded and shaped into the very image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can be able to be productive children, even in a fallen and corrupt world. We can be people who hold the moral standards that you have given us through your word. So we right now, Lord God, we ask that I decrease, that we all decrease, and that you may increase in us. May your spirit have its way. May you fill us up, Lord. Anything that's in us, Lord, that's not of you, Lord God, may we just lay it at the foot of the cross right now, Lord, so that we can hear from you, hear from heaven, that we may know you in the power of your resurrection. We love you, we praise you, and bless you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen, amen, and amen. 646-668-8468 is the call-in number. 646-668-8468. For those that's in the United States. And I want you guys to get the word out. Let these people know that, hey, they can tune in 24/7 to listen to all the messages on Blog Talk Radio that have been done. And when we do live shows, they can just log on to the website that I post up on the page. They can log on to those websites and be able to share, listen from the player. They're not going to miss it. The word of God is going to be there. They can listen 24/7. I got messages that I did since 2010. You can go back in the archive and listen to them. You can listen to some very great teaching, not because I did it, but because the Holy Spirit did it through me. And amen. So I'm just grateful for just being used, and I want us to encourage others and build up other people with the word of God. Amen. So again, for those who live in the Los Angeles area, please prayerfully consider coming out. Check us out at Core Church LA on Sundays, 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30 p.m. 8:30, 10:30 are morning services, and 12:30 noon is the last service. So please, if you got family, friends, people that are lost, people that need to know Jesus, people that are searching for answers and they want to get their questions answered, this is a place where you can go and you can ask questions that you might be in doubt about, and you can be able to plug in. You know, we can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. All I can do is promote and present the message. The message and the Holy Spirit will do what it's called to do. The message will convict and bring people to an understanding that God died for sinners. But you have to understand that you're a sinner. You have to realize that you're a sinner. If you think you're righteous in your own power, you can make your own decisions and follow your own moral compass, moral standards, you're going to fall short. But when you trust Jesus Christ and give him all of you, he'll show you what life is and how life is to live, be lived out. And the life that he wants us to give is an abundant life. It's not based on materialism. It's based on the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to come out, check us out. You can go to the website, www.corechurchla.org, and you can check, get all the information of where the church is and where we meet at, and you can listen to some messages of Pastor Steve Wilburn, and you can be able to just follow along. And also, check us out. The address is 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. And like I said, just three different services. And people that will love on you and show you what the love of Christ really looks like. Many people talk about they love Jesus, but they're around here cheating on Jesus. They're around here manipulating Jesus, or they basically treat Jesus like he's some kind of punk, that you can just kind of do what you want to do. You know, you want to accept the free gift of salvation, but you're steady punching him in the face and pulling his beard and nailing him and crucifying him to the cross all over again because of an ungodly lifestyle. God has told us, he said, that if we love him, we'll obey him and keep his commandments. But when we say, no, Lord, I love you, but I want my fire insurance, but I'm going to keep on sinning. I'm going to keep on doing what I want to do. And God says, no, you don't love me. You hate me. You hate me. So let us decide who we're going to love. And we just want to invite you to come out, place of worship, join us tomorrow, 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30. Also, if you're being blessed by this radio ministry, continue to pray for us. Continue to pray for my health, pray for my disability, but also if you can financially stand with us, please prayerfully consider donating through the GoFund account. Working on putting a PayPal account together, but right now we have a GoFund account. And you can read all of the information there, and if the Lord has called you to do it, please stand with us. Whatever you can give is no amount too small. Whatever you give is okay with the Lord, definitely okay with me. Amen? So that's something that you guys could look into and pray about and see what the Lord would have you to do. Let's get into today's lesson. Let's get into today's lesson. What is today's lesson? Today's lesson is Proverbs 20 on life and conduct, part 1. On life and conduct, part 1 of Proverbs chapter 20. What are we talking about? Well, we've been dealing with a book of Proverbs for a while, and most of it is dealing with wisdom, lifestyles, how we should live, walking in wisdom, living our lives according to God's plan and precepts, looking at what God says about how we should conduct ourselves in a matter of godliness and versus walking in foolishness and walking as a child that is not wise. So we're going to look at these pearls from Proverbs, and some of them you probably heard already, but guess what? God's word is for us. And it never gets old. I don't care if God repeats it over and over again. He's repeating it because he knows that we as human beings tend to forget or tend to need to be reminded. We need to be reminded more and more about things that God says. So we want to make sure that we're getting it in our spirit. And that's the whole purpose of not just being a Sunday morning Christian, not just listening to the word when it's beneficial to you, not listening to it when the word, I'm going through problems, let me go grab my Bible. No, we should grab our Bibles every day. Yesterday's message was a powerful message that I did. Please go back and check it out. Know Jesus. Knowing Jesus. It's important for us to know Jesus and to have a relationship that causes us to soak in him, soak in his presence, to meditate on his word, that we should be like sponges absorbing Christ, so that we can be more like him and less like ourselves. Our flesh will get us in the worst trouble. See, we blame the devil for way too much things, friends. And we need to blame ourselves because our flesh, our desires, our lustful desires want to take over. When Adam and Eve fell, they didn't fall just because Satan lured them. Yeah, he was whispering in their ear, but it was the fleshly desire. They looked, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what caused the greater fall. Satan is just dangling the carrot. But we have to own the responsibility or own up to the fact that it's something that we want. And when we take our focus off of God and his word and we quench and grieve the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about believers, we fall into a trap and a snare. That's why money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. If you love money and love and you're pursuing after it, it will cause you hell, because now that becomes your God and your idol. So let's look at these pearls of Proverbs chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 1 through 15 through Proverbs 20, 1 through 15, and then we'll go back and kind of pick them apart. Amen? 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. Afterwards, if you guys, we'll probably be shutting off probably an hour from now. Afterwards, if you guys want to call in, if you got a prayer request, if there's something going on in your life you want to share, if it's a testimony, whatever going on, I'll give you opportunity to have a moment if you want to share, or if you just want to comment about the radio program and what you think of the messages, whatever it is. Pray about it, see what the Lord would have. At the end of the program, I'll give you an opportunity to call in and make your request known, amen, or lay or share with the rest of the body of Christ. So Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink, a brawler, and whosoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. He who provokes him to anger foretells his own life. Forfeits his own life. Number three, keeping away from strife is an honor of a man, but any fool will quarrel. Verse four, the sluggard does not plow after the autumn. So he begs during the harvest and has nothing. Number five, a plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Number six, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Number seven, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. Number eight, a king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his own eyes. Number nine, who can say I have cleansed my heart? I am pure from my sin. Number ten, differing weights and differing measures, both of them are abomination to the Lord. Number 11, it is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself, if his conduct is pure and right. Number 12, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. Number 13, do not love sleep, lest you become poor. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with food. Number 14, bad, bad, says the buyer, but when he goes his way, then he boasts. Number 15, there is gold and abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing. Father God, we thank you again for the reading of your word. May you give us clarity. May you give us understanding. May you give us wisdom as we seek your will through your word of following your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we lift up the word, the graphe, that we may know and understand you by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we say amen. We say amen. This is dealing with life and conduct. Life and conduct. We know how we conduct ourselves as believers, as children of God. In some churches, you might not ever hear the word conduct or behavior or how you follow God or integrity, integrity, character. These words have become so lost in a day and age where people are continuing to seek the world's way of doing things. And guess what? Morality has been redefined, just like marriage. Just like lifestyles are being redefined, and we basically say it's not murder to kill babies, and we say it's not wrong to be married to two men being married together, or two women being married. Or now you're starting to see more and more people who are a daughter and a father. I was watching one of those talk shows yesterday, and sometimes you have to watch this stuff to see, is this real? Is this really what's going on? As a believer, I have to be discerning and look at the pulse of this world and what's going on, because, friends, it's becoming more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's becoming more and more such an abomination to live on planet Earth, to live in America, because now our society is now to embracing anything and everything that feels good. Versus what God said is right and just and holy. My Bible told me in 1 Peter 1, around verse 18, be ye holy because I'm holy. That's what the instruction was that God has given us, the New Testament church, that we're to follow his standard and not man's. To follow his standard when it comes to righteousness and godly living and right conduct. You don't go into the military and just do what you want to do. They have a standard operating procedure. You don't go to your job and just tell your boss, I'm going to do this and run this company or run this machine and do whatever I want to do any way I want to do it. You're not going to do that. I was a truck driver for 30 years. There was a standard of operating operating a motor vehicle. That's why you have a Class A license versus a regular Class C, which is your basic car. If you wanted to be a motorcycle rider, you have a class, a different class, I believe. I can't remember what that class is. Some of y'all might help me out. But if you ride motorcycles, there's a different license for every vehicle that you operate. If you want to be a pilot, you don't have the right to just fly any way you want to. They have a certain requirement and a certain way they want their pilots to be fit for duty. They have to take a flight physical. I was in an aviation unit, and a lot of the pilots, they have to be cleared for flying. You can be physically fit, but when you go to do a flight physical, they want to know that you can fly that aircraft or that plane or helicopter safely. Because you're going to be transporting troops into maybe a combat zone, so it's important for you to know how to fly and you be physically fit. Well, God wants us to be physically fit, or spiritually fit, I should say, according to His Word. And I talked about that so much this week, about us being spiritually fit, spiritually mindset, mindful, that our conscience, our mind, and everything about us is pointing towards Christ. And remember in Proverbs 12:1-2, Paul told us, he said, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and blameless before God. Notice what he says here in Proverbs 1. He says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your what? Bodies. Your bodies. In other words, this is your conduct. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your what? Spiritual service of worship. Remember, Jesus told the woman at the well, he says, it's going to come a time when you need to worship. You will have to worship me in spirit and truth. It's not about you going to the temple and doing the religious things. I need you to be about my business and my Father's business, because our business is about the kingdom of God. Our business is about the gospel. Our business is about raising people up, or bringing people out of darkness and bringing them into the light. We're told here in John chapter 8 how important it is for us to walk with the light. Jesus is the light. He is the radiance of the light. He is brighter than the sun, because he represents holiness and righteousness. And we're told here in chapter 8, in John chapter 8, around verse 12, he says, again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. And what do we see today? In a lost world, what do we see today? Many people are on the road to darkness, the road to hell. This is not about what you can't see. This is about what you're not spiritually. See, if you're not born again, then you're not walking with the light. If you have not been born of the Spirit of God, then guess what? You're still in your flesh, in your mess, and one day you will spend eternity lost and separated from a holy God. He told the Pharisees in verse 13 of this same chapter in Proverbs 8, the Pharisees therefore said to him, you are bearing witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Notice what Jesus said. He answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I came from, or where I'm going. Verse 15, you people judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and he who sent me. He's talking with the Trinity. The reason that Jesus could say these words is because he wasn't speaking alone. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were present when he was speaking. That's why he's referring to it in a plural sense. He's referring to a relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is referring to the Trinity. The triune Godhead was with Jesus. So he can speak. He said, you don't know what you're talking about. He says, even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and he who sent me. Hallelujah. Friends, too many people are trying to find wisdom apart from the all-knowing, all-wise God. Too many people are trying to do this apart from the Holy Spirit. They want a relationship with God, but they have not surrendered themselves to the cross. And if you did not surrender yourself to the cross, you have no relationship. You have no standard. Our God is holy. So as we look at Proverbs chapter 20, let's just go through these. Let's look at and see what God has to say in these pearls from Proverbs. Number one, again, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. Well, we know that for those of us who have been reading our Bibles, the Bible doesn't teach total abstinence about drinking. It does tell us it's wrong to drink if you have a brother or sister that may have a problem with alcohol that could cause them to stumble. That would be a problem. But having a drink is not a sin. Now, it would be a sin to have a drink if you have a drinking problem. If you God delivered you from that and you're on the wagon, as they call it, and you struggle with alcohol, then you should abstain. You should not want to be around it. And if I'm a brother that can drink and don't have a problem, but I know you have a problem drinking, then I have to refrain from that liberty which God has given me because I love my brother or my sister, and I don't want none of them. I don't want to be a stumbling block for my brothers or sisters. Now, some pastors would try to tell you under legalism, because they have a conviction about not drinking, that you're sinning because you do drink. Well, they can't prove that from Scripture. So they can't tell me that. The Bible already tells me. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. Alcoholism is a great problem. The Bible teaches that alcohol is useful in its place, 1 Timothy 5:23. But if one drinks to the point of intoxication, how foolish is it? Is that? If you have a problem with alcohol, you need to stay clear of it. You need to flee. You got to treat alcohol, or any drug for that matter, like it's a disease, like it's cancer, like it's some kind of STD, or whatever, you need to flee from it. You need to run. That's why you don't, alcohols, or people that have been delivered from alcoholism, and you don't go get your gum at the liquor store. You know, you need to go to 7-Eleven or something. You don't need to go to the liquor store and get your gum or candy bar. You need to, because if you know that you got to, if you're weak in that area, it's wise for you to stay away from it. Let me read 1 Timothy 5:23. He says, stop drinking only water. Paul was telling Timothy. He says, and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illness. So Paul was giving Timothy an exhortation to use wine as medicinal. And we know that in our culture or worldwide, that wine has been used to help people with blood pressure issues and heart disease. Not the abuse of wine, but using it as a medicinal purpose. Not to get drunk, not to get you high on, but used for a medicinal purpose. Number two, Proverbs 20, verse 2, the terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. He who provokes him to anger forfeits his own life. Wow. 646-668-8468 is a calling number. The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. I think back right now, thinking about some of these kings that have ruled countries and these evil, wicked rulers. Even Israel had some wicked rulers. They had wicked kings. He who provokes him to anger forfeits his own life, it says. Those in authority have great power. In some countries, if you make a leader angry, you could lose your life. You could die. You think about a Hitler. You think about Saddam Hussein. You think about what's the other guy they sent in the SEAL force to kill him. We all need to watch. There are some wicked rulers in this world. There are wicked rulers all over this world. Mattia, God bless you. God bless you. Joe, Brian, God bless you. Thank you for being here. We're talking about Proverbs 20. Going through these verse 2, chapter 20, it says again, the terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. He who provokes him to anger forfeits his own life. There's some evil people in the world. We need to watch our own country. Because just because they stand up there and act like they have our best interests, hey, we see just in the fact that we allow abortions, and there's been over 70 million babies killed in the womb since Roe v. Wade. And not to mention the backyard and the undisclosed, or the ones that they don't talk about or they don't have on record. There are many children being killed. I remember, and if you guys can follow this on Facebook or YouTube, you can go see. Fred Hammond gives a testimony on YouTube of how his mother tried to abort him. Powerful testimony. But God saved him. But God saved him. He had plans for him. But look at our nation. Look at our culture. We have become so desensitized to the murder of babies, but we want to save every animal on the planet. We want to save all the cats and the dogs, and we have millions and billions of dollars poured into pet projects. Just let's save little Fluffy and Fifi. I don't hate dogs, but when did a dog have more rights to live than a human being, my friends? Something is really backwards about our nation. Something is very wrong with this so-called we love everybody mentality. We want to be tolerant of everybody, but we're snatching the heads off of babies in the womb. And we want to say that we're a humane country? I think not, my friend. You can't kill a baby. And that's a person made in the Imago Dei, in the image of a holy God. God made that little person, and you just going to take that life? My God. We have become so perverted. See, when you take the word of God and you just twist it and you pervert life, you basically say, oh, no, we don't want to be inconvenienced for the baby now. The baby didn't ask to be here. The parent, the people who laid down together and took no responsibility and basically just said, we'll just get rid of it. It's not a baby. It's not a human being. But let me go kick that woman in the stomach. Go punch a woman that's 2 or 3 months pregnant and see if they tell you you just murdered a child. My Lord, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. Any fool will quarrel. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, about the danger of being angry. Not having a control over the anger issue. And anger is a result of what? Of, A, it could be pride. It could be unconfessed sin. It could be an issue with you not dealing with the people that might have hurt you that have went on. It could be many reasons you're angry, but having the righteous anger should be, we should be angry about the abortionists. We should be angry when they tell us that marriage can be between anybody now instead of what God says marriage is. I'm angry about that because my God has the standard for righteousness and godly conduct. My God tells me how to think, that I need to have the mind of Christ. I need to put on Jesus Christ so that I don't start to think as the world would have me to think, because they want me to think apart from God's word and apart from God's will. See, look, once they start to teach you how to think, they program you or reprogram you. Then you start to look at, oh, maybe it's not a child. Maybe marriage is not. We'll start saying, hey, it's okay if somebody wants to marry their horse. It's okay if somebody wants to marry their daughter, their niece, their nephew, fathers and daughters, brothers and sisters. Where will it stop at, my friends? It won't, because, see, perversion, all it is taking what's true, what God has established as right and holy and godly conduct and godly behavior, and what do? We take it and we just bend it and twist it, and we say, now, this is what's true. This is what's okay. Sister Cheryl McFadden, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Joe, God bless you. Friends, we need to realize what the word says. So how do you control anger? Well, you have to let anger go at the foot of the cross. You and I have to take our anger, and we need to take it to Jesus. You can be angry about sin, but we don't never go out and retaliate against the sinner. We need to preach and pray for Jesus to turn them from their sinful ways, and that he may turn them to the cross. Because at one time we were foolish. At one time we were darkness. One time we were out there following the cares of this world, the prince of the power of the air, and we were enemies of God. But God, who had mercy upon us, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Again, Proverbs 3 says, keeping away from strife is an honor for a man. See, man, look, when you see the enemy trying to bait you into something that's not of God, walk away. Keep away from strife. If people want to draw you into an argument, draw you into a debate that's not healthy, there's a time to debate, but some things you don't need to even debate about. I'm not going to sit and debate all day, is there a God? Because that's foolish. I don't debate on, is there a God? My job is, my fact, prove that there is no God. Just because you told me there's no God, but I've been walking with him long enough to know that his word is real. I've seen God work through me. I see God working in other believers. I see God changing and transforming and regenerating the minds and hearts of people that come to the cross, that are transformed by from the caterpillar to the butterfly, and they're now living a fruitful life, and they're presenting love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. These things you can't manufacture on your own. It's not possible for us to produce the fruits of the Spirit, because the fruits of the Spirit comes from the Holy Spirit. You can fake all you want to. All you got to do is watch somebody explode or lose their mind when they don't get what they want, and then what's really in them comes out. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man or woman, but any fool will quarrel. Don't be a fool, my friends, my brothers. There is a time when an argument cannot be avoided, but a resourceful person will find a way out of a fight when it is appropriate. Foolish people find it impossible to avoid strife and at times go looking for it. Don't be a foolish man or woman. That's not what God wants us to do. Sometimes you have to just walk away and pray. Pray and walk away. Lord, I give you this person. I pray that you open their eyes. Lord, I pray that you would turn them from their foolish thinking and turn them to the cross of Jesus. And you just pray. We can win more arguments on our knees than we can trying to throw up our dukes. God didn't call us to throw up our dukes. He didn't call us to do like Peter did and grab the sword and start chopping off ears, my friend. He wants us to grab our word and get on our face and start soaking in him. And then we can pray for those, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of the air. We don't wrestle against these people. It's the forces of darkness, but we can only win the fight on our face before God. If you can't get on your knees, just get in God's presence. And start soaking and calling upon the name of Jesus. Number four, Proverbs 24, verse 4. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. The sluggard, this is a person that's just lazy. We see this all through society now, in America especially. We see people, and we reward this type of behavior. We reward people for being apathetic about work. And I'm not talking about people that lost their jobs and looking for a job, or people that are medically not able to go out and function, like myself, who used to be a truck driver up until November. I drove for 30 years, 16 for the post office, another 17, 18 16 in the post office, 3 civilian on the other side of that, cross country, and then another 7, 8 years or 10 years with the military, reserve and active duty. So I drove for a lot. So because I can't drive physically on no more, they won't let me have my license back, my Class A. And because my health got worse, then I had to step away. But this is a person that just, you know, you got 17, 18 year olds that graduated. They've been out of school 2, 3 years. And they don't even know how to fill out an application. Why? Because they never wanted to work. Some parents have built this type of mentality. They've allowed their children, they didn't go to school, but they basically just stayed at home gaming and playing Xbox and 360 and all these other games, football all day. They game all day, but they don't know the game of life. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs, she begs during the harvest and has nothing. That's why you see folks stopping you in front of stores because they don't want to work. They got better tennis shoes than I got shoes, more expensive tennis shoes. They're in front of 7-Eleven begging for cigarettes. You got some change? I got a place where you can go find a job. And, you know, they've done studies and seen, they went around, you know, filming some of these folks that stand on corners. These folks go and jump in a car better than yours and go pull up to a house. This is what they do. They con artists. Or some of them just lazy. You've heard similar warnings. If you don't study, you'll fail the test. If you don't save funds, you will not be there when you need it. They won't be there. God takes care of his children, but he expects us to use good sense. We can't expect him to come to our rescue when we cause our own problems through lack of planning and action. I raised my hand. I'm guilty. I made a lot of mistakes, my friends. Made a lot of mistakes with finances. Made good money and made a lot of mistakes. I will raise my hand to it. I failed. I had a job, had a good job, but I made a lot of mistakes in not storing up my wealth, and God has had to put me on the shelf. Not having a paycheck for the last 9 months has really humbled me. When you have to try to scrape money together just for personal hygiene stuff, but I'm telling you, friends, I've learned something. I've learned something. Don't ever think, you know, people go around saying, you know, oh, man, I ain't worried about it. The Lord going to bless me. No, the Lord's not going to bless your mess when you just don't manage your finances right. He's not. God doesn't just pour out money out of heaven. These pimp preachers that preach that stuff are nothing but charlatans, and they're basically deceiving the body of Christ with foolishness. And all you're doing is giving their families more of your money because they're pimping you, telling you God's going to make you rich. There's way more millionaires in the world, the secular world, that do not know God than there are millionaires or billionaires in the church. Cut that foolishness out. Yes, God will bless us, but he doesn't go around making everybody a millionaire, and everybody on this world not going to be a millionaire. Just imagine if the whole world out of 7 billion people were millionaires or billionaires. How much work would get done? Who would pick up the garbage? Who would do the labor jobs that nobody else wants to do? How many of people would clean your house? Nobody would be doing this stuff. If everybody in the church was a millionaire, you wouldn't even have people coming to church no more because they would be too busy trying to party and count their dollars instead of serving God. God knows best for us not to give us everything that we ask for, but to give us just what we need and not a dime more, not a penny more, because some of us can't handle the 10 cents that we got, so he's not going to give you 12. We need to be praying, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, I pray that you would give me wisdom, because I'm a fool with money. I can't handle it right now. So just give me a little bit right now, and let me be faithful with the little, and maybe I'll be able to handle this later on. But just meet my needs. Just, you know, hey, make sure I keep some lights on, the internet on. Make sure I can be able to serve the people of God and be able to share the word of God. But, Lord, don't give me too much more because I ain't ready for that. I can't handle it yet. I want to be wise because I made a fool with the most when I had more because I didn't think it was going to run out, but you never know. All of us can be humbled and set down, and God will get our attention. It can be through sickness. It can be a loss of a job. You never know when God is getting ready to put you on a shelf to get your attention. But believe me, he will do it if you're his child. Notice again what he says. We can expect him to come to our rescue when we cause our... We can expect him to come to our rescue when we cause our own problems through lack of planning and action. He provides for us, but he also expects us to be responsible. God never, ever rewards people for being irresponsible. That's a lie from the pit of hell if you think that's going to happen. It makes no sense. Why would God let you go out and blow $1 million? What kind of witness would that make you? Oh, look at what I got. Look at, Lord bless me. The Lord bless me. And then you broke a year later. No, God didn't bless you. Satan might have gave it to you. And now you're looking like a fool because you broke, busted, and disgusted. And then you're angry. Man, I gave everybody my money. I guarantee you, look, some of us don't, look, think about this. And you know you got some family members that if you had $1 million, they'd be over knocking at your door. You ain't heard from them folks in 20 years, but all of a sudden they showed up on your doorstep with a sob story. But they couldn't even speak to you on Facebook before that. You would sit there on, you see that they on Facebook, but they ain't said nothing to you. But now you got some money, and all of a sudden, oh, so-and-so rich. Let's call him up. And you, and some folks have went broke, giving all their money away. There was a guy just recently, and he was wise, because he won the lotto. He won like $300-something million. He didn't even go. Right before that ticket was about to expire, here in California, he went and got his money. But he had already had his financial planner setting up his estate, so that he would not have to worry about it. And whatever money he got, and they packed up their house and got out of Dodge. They lived somewhere out in the mountains, but hey, they got up and got out of Dodge. They didn't let nobody know they wanted till it was time to cash that ticket in, and they was packing up their house. We need to be wise. Number 5, chapter 20, verse 5, the calling number is 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. What does he tell us here? He says, counsel in the heart of a man or woman is like deep water. It's like water in a deep well, but a man of understanding or a woman of understanding draws it out. This is the person who basically will minister and counsel with other brothers and sisters, or counsel with somebody that might not even be in the world. See, when you have the book that is for counseling, for speaking wisdom into somebody, then guess what? You can speak and you can be confident what you say is true because it's God's word. Long as I don't deviate from this truth, long as I don't manipulate and pervert God's word, guess what? The counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. It means that once we get to the root of your issue, because see, a lot of people want to come along with this, oh, you know, and you know, it's so-and-so's problem and this problem, and when you start going through all that water, getting deep down into the issue of it and what's really going on in this person's life, you find out that the issue is a sin issue. The issue is a pride issue. The issue is you're not following God. This is why you have these problems. This is why you're not receiving what you want from God, because you're not walking in wisdom. You have not surrendered your will to God. And that's why he says, but a man of understanding. When we know God and we know his will and know his word and we counsel people with a scripture and not scriptures, look, I'm not going to talk to you about what life is going, the problems with the world. The problem with the world is sin. You know, if you got marital problems, if you got girlfriend, boyfriend problems, the first thing I want to know, is there sin in this relationship? Are you in sin, living in sin, doing sin? Are you trying to manipulate God's word with sin? Because God is not going to bless your mess, boo-boo. God's not going to help us until we get real with him and we get transparent with him. He wants us to come by way of the word of God so we can walk in the way of God. And there's healing. There's healing when we get the living water. See, when we drink of God's water, the living water, then there's healing for our soul. When we eat at God's table, we're eating the bread of life, which is going to build us up and give us spiritual wisdom and nourishment so that we don't have to walk around in our 50s and 60s and 70s as a fool. God doesn't want his children walking as a fool. He wants us walking in wisdom. He wants us to be wise. Notice what we're told here. To make plans, to seek advice, to ask the right questions like water from a deep well. See, a lot of people want to dodge what God is asking us. And we know that, hey, James tells us, if any of us lack wisdom, let us go to God. Let us go to God because he wants to give us wisdom. But that's only for the believer. Not the make-believer, not just the Sunday morning church goer, not the one who has a religion for 6 months and then they throw God in the corner because they got their blessing. See, one thing I know about Satan, and I know this firsthand, Satan will let you have a little bit of peace, a little bit of joy. He'll give you a little bit of, I'm talking about for the unbelievers and make-believers. He'll give you a little bit of things, some of these things that you've been asking for, that's basically to deter you from the truth. You can go to church all you want to. You can carry your Bible. You can read it. You can say amen, hallelujah. You can skip up and down the aisles, jump in the pulpit, jump in the baptismal pool. You can do all of that. Don't mean a thing to God. If you're not applying this book and living a holy life, living a godly life, God-fearing life, and I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about sinning less and walking in Holy Spirit direction. If you're not doing that as a habit of life, guess what Satan says? Just keep on following me. I got you. I got you. And here's your reward. You want a little money? You want to get your little freak on? You want to hit the clubs? You want to do your party thing? It's all good. I got you. You can go to church. You can go to Bible study. Just don't obey God, and I still own you. Just keep on serving me. Keep on doing the things that please me. Satan don't care nothing about you, and he will make sure that you spend eternity separated from God, but in hell with him. God wants us to live a righteous life. He wants us to live a holy life, but we got to surrender. We got to give up our right to be right. It's not my will, but his will be done. Number six, Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Now, when we hear the word man, ladies, I don't want you ladies to think that he's just talking about men. This word man in the Hebrew is neutered, so it means male or female. It's dealing with mankind. So just so you say, oh, that's for a man. That's not. No, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man or woman? Well, God can in the body of Christ. For those of us Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're back. We got this weak connection, boy. The devil's definitely been hindering my internet flow. But you know what, friends? We back. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome back to the Prodigal Church Hour. Again, I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick. We get these snafus going on with this, with these people. God bless you. God bless you. Give them a little bit of time to come back in the room. But I want you guys to realize how important it is for us to be loyal in God's word, how he wants us to be loyal and walk in wisdom, and how important it is for us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Too many people trying to find or trying to get. Notice what he says in verse 6 of Proverbs 20, verse 6. He says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man, who can find? There are a lot more people who are eager to brag about themselves than there are those who are truly faithful to testify of God's goodness. There's a lot more people that will brag about their own. They'll brag about their own self. They want to boast about themselves or boast in their relationship to, you know, it's like, hey, look at what I done. Look, friends, you don't never ever hear me talk about me. I'm not the standard here. It's Christ. This ministry is about Christ. It's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. This ministry is about lifting and uplifting the word of God, that we can all be healed, that we can all grow, that we can all become more and more like him and less like ourselves. See, because when you and I are walking in integrity, we're walking in the will of God, and we're walking, look, this goes beyond just on a Sunday morning. We take God wherever we go, if we truly is. When we out in public, Nothing more embarrassing than to hear somebody cursing like a sailor, but they talking about, yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus is good. No, you can't have sweet water and salt water come out of the same mouth. That's not of God. That's not how God operates. Our God wants us to be loyal to Him, and when we're focused on Him and His will and His way, guess what? We're conducting ourselves in godliness and righteousness. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man, who can find? Well, you can't find one out in this world. See, this is why a lot of women right now, a lot of women want godly men. They, at least they say they do. I think some of them don't really know what they want. But a lot of them claim they want a God-fearing man. But do you know what a God-fearing man looks like? Is your perception of that God-fearing man based on what the Bible says or based on something that the world is trying to present to you as a moral, a godly person? Because, see, God-fearing is not just about someone who just fears God, but he must know God. He must know God. He must have a personal relationship with God. And that relationship is an ongoing, ongoing relationship. He's praying. He's lifting up God. He's walking in integrity. He's walking with godly character. He's not sinless. He's not perfect. He still has his problems. But guess what? When he messes up or she messes up, they get up and they walk with God. They don't just keep making excuses. See, we're getting too old. Some of us getting too old. I can't go back to that world. There's nothing out there that I want. And what I thought I wanted out there, it was all a mirage. It was all a mirage. Yeah, I apologize, Sister Cheryl, but I got a weak internet, and I'm working on getting that fixed this week. Just keep praying. Pray for me, y'all. It shouldn't cut off before I finish this up, but just keep praying. Amen. Devil been trying to chop him. Like I said before, friends, if I was here teaching something about the flesh and mess and money, oh, Satan would have, I would be able to broadcast to 7 different U streams and get the word out. But, you know, anytime you're teaching the word, Satan don't want you to get the gospel out. But notice again, verse 6, he says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man, who can find it? And we see here that in this verse it says there are a lot more people who are eager to brag about themselves. In other words, they're prideful than there are those who are truthfully faithful to testify of God's goodness. That's all I can tell you about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If I tell you about me, you're going to be disappointed. If I tell you about me and my shortcomings, none of y'all going to want to be here. But all I can tell you is what Christ is doing in me, has already done in me, and that one day I'll be complete when I get to glory. But until then, friends, I'm going to fall short. I'm going to make mistakes. I just pray that those mistakes that I made in the past, that I don't make those ungodly mistakes, those that would disqualify me or take me out of being able to minister and lift up and encourage. Because if I'm out here messing around and doing dirt and all this stuff, then guess what? Nobody wants to hear a hypocrite. I'm not going to watch one. You shouldn't either. I want to stand before God and represent Him. I want to represent Him by being what I do in private. Should be the same attitude. I should have the same attitude of what I would do in public. I shouldn't do nothing in private in the sense of being in a sense of trying to slip and slide and peep and hide that I'm not willing. Everything about my life should be that striving for holiness and righteousness because God calls us. Number seven says, the righteous who walk in His integrity. Here we go. Like sometimes I can be saying things and then the Holy Spirit just give you a scripture to come with it. The righteous who walks in His integrity, blessed are His children after Him, or her children. For you single women that raised up godly men, or maybe you didn't raise up godly men, but maybe because God has transformed you now, maybe you had a chance to speak life into your children. We've all made our mistakes, but God is able to heal and repair. He can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. 646-668-8468. We'll be finished here in about 30 minutes, and we'll continue on probably tomorrow with part two. We'll stop at verse 15, so be advised. We'll be finished here around 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. Again, he tells us here, the righteous who walks in his integrity. Now, we know the Bible tells us in the New Covenant or New Testament, there is none righteous. And there is none righteous apart from the finished work, what God has already done in us. His imputed righteousness has been placed upon us because we have been born again, not of this flesh, but of the Spirit. We are righteous because of his imputed righteousness. So when we hear here, when we read here in Proverbs 20, verse 7, he says, "But the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children in him." Do you notice that? People who have a working relation, an ongoing relationship with God, you see a lot of fruit. Their fruit is given back to their children because they see the children follow examples of God-fearing men predominantly. See, when we have God-fearing men in the home and a God-fearing wife in the home, then the children are prone to follow the example because there's so many broken families. Yeah, it's not going to always be perfect. You're going to have some that may stray away, but when you got a God-fearing man, he's a praying man, and that praying wife, and they're both coming together, lifting up and running the devil out their house, guess what? The children are being blessed. They're covered. That's why the Bible tells us to pray fervently. That's why if you go to Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God. We're in a warfare, my friends. And since we're in a warfare, we got to pray. Pray without ceasing. Remember, Paul told us this back here. Go with me right quick. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Notice what he says here. He says, first he gives an exhortation to the children and their parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it will may be well with you and it may be well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters, that's your employers, and with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. In other words, obey them like you would Christ. Now, you don't obey your earthly masters in sin, and when he says obey your earthly master, again, he's talking about your employer or people who have authority over you. And it's amazing how people will follow their boss, but they don't want to follow the King of Kings, the one who made the boss and you. But that's another one. He says, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Everything we do. When you might have a boss you can't stand because he got a wrong dispensation, wrong attitude, but guess what? You got to love him and pray for him. And you got to remember, God made him too. And because God made him, you might be the only believer at your job, but guess what? God can't put you there to be light in dark places, and if he hates you, so what? Pray, and pray that God would raise him up or open his eyes that he may know Jesus. Notice what he says, though, skipping down at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Friends, this is our government. A government that does not fear God, guess what they are? They fall under this category. A government that's anti-Jesus, that now will try to put you in jail or basically make it a hate crime for you to preach and promote Jesus Christ. When Muhammad and Allah are more acceptable than Jesus Christ, guess what they are? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. My God. You see this? This is what God commands us to do. He didn't tell us to go out there and get a sword. I mean, a physical sword or a gun. When you're dealing with cops that are not right, we're dealing with spiritual forces of evil. When you're dealing with human beings that's not right of any kind, any color, this is not a color problem, friends. It's a sin problem. It's a heart problem. And we need Jesus Christ to come in and change the heart. Because when God will give you a new heart, a heart transplant, then the attitude will change. The mindset will change. And then them people will start to love you because they love Christ. I've heard testimony after testimony of ex-KKK members or even Black Panthers or people that claim to be these black supremacists or white supremacists, whatever the case may be. These people don't bother me because I know who the real problem is. It's that liar Satan. I know what I'm really dealing with. I'm not fighting against flesh and blood. I don't need to go and march for Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. But we really need a heart transplant, and that heart transplant can only come from Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual warfare, my friend. And we need to know who our real enemy is. Satan got us walking around fighting people that's made in the image, in the imago Deo of Jesus Christ, made in the image, the very image of God. God didn't make us to be walking around looking at each other's color and finding fault. If you're going to find fault in anything, look at the heart of the person, because we got enough devils that look like me and you. I've been jumped on by some people that look just like me, or robbed by people that look like me. I don't get caught in that color scheme. I remember Travis Smiley said a long time ago, just because we got the same color don't make you my brother. We got enough evil within of all races, all people. It don't matter who they are. Smiling in your face all the time, want to take your place, backstabbers. And they come in many colors and shapes. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom. And see, believers definitely have a position. We need to stand on the word of God, the rock. But Jesus is colorblind. Only color Jesus wants us to have is the blood of him covering our sins, washing us, making us clean. That's the only thing that matters to Christ. He could care less. He didn't come to die for black folks only or white folks only. They did that in slavery. They used the Bible and manipulated it and made it about color. And we're doing the same thing today. You got people, black Israelites. Oh, he only came for the Puerto Rican. He only came for the black man. He only came for the colored man, the Asian man. No, he came for all mankind. He came for all mankind. He came for you and me. He came to set us free from our wrong thinking and give us a new heart that we can worship him in the spirit and truth. Notice what he says here again in verse 7 here. 646-668-8468. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons or daughters. Integrity is a great quality to have. Not only is a person of integrity blessed, but those who come after them. Do you know that when you walk in integrity and people that hang around you, they will glean off of you. Either they're going to glean from your character and who you are, or they don't want to be around you. Only people don't want to be around godly people is people that hate God. See, when you and I stand for righteousness, guess what? We're doing what God called us to do. Only people don't want to be around us is the devil's children. When you and I are walking with God, we're lifting up God, we're standing on the word of God, guess what? That road is narrow. And those that's in blindness, those that are walking in darkness, they can't see the light except the light that's flashing and shining up on them, and it's bringing conviction. It's bringing a conviction because your standard of living is opposite of theirs. Remember, I read to you in Matthew, in John chapter 8, how Jesus said that he came to shed light, but they didn't want. He says those that walk in darkness can't see. Thank you, Jesus, for opening the eyes of your people. Thank you, Jesus. We're not following a religion, but we have the light of God where we can see. And when we mess up, we can even see our sin, and we can confess it, and we can get back on track. Those that make excuses for sin are those that really don't know Jesus. Those that are constantly trying to find some way, loophole to get around sin don't really have a fear of God. I like what he says, a righteous man, a woman who walks in his integrity. How blessed are his sons after him, or daughters. So you want to impact the nation? Walk in integrity. Walk in righteousness. Walk with godly character. It might not be your physical son or daughter. It might be a niece or nephew. We can pour into them a new life. We can show them the light of Jesus Christ just by changing. When God changes us and we start to make changes in our life and start to get right and get cleaned up, and we say, no, I can't do that no more. People want to, let's go out and have a few drinks. Nah, I don't want to do that because I don't want to be a stumbling block. Ain't nothing in the club. When I was hanging in the club, I know what I was looking for, sin. When I was stepping out, I was looking for sin. I was looking for something to get into that was not pleasing to God. So I want to stay with God. I want to walk in integrity. Number eight, a king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eye. Proverbs 20, verse 8. A king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eye. Those who preside over a court need to do so with justice. Remember, we talked about this, friends, how important it is if our court system was governed by the word of God. A lot of folks wouldn't be in jail that don't need to be in jail, and people that need to be in jail wouldn't be getting off. The punishment would fit the crime. Look, I don't want nobody out of jail that really deserves to be in there. I don't want no murderers or rapists or pedophiles out on the street. I don't want people out on the streets that do evil deeds. They need to go to jail. But sometimes we got the wrong people. We let out the wrong person. It's going to come a time they're going to put us in jail. It's a strong possibility here in America, friends, that this nation is soon to be a nation that is so intolerant of us as Christians that they're going to put us in jail for having a Bible, for preaching a Bible, for standing up and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm waiting for it. I'm going to jail before I go to hell, though. I promise you that. I'm not selling out. Again, he says, those who preside over a court need to do so with justice. Evil will be dealt with and will be afraid to enter into his presence. This should be a part of our fear of the Lord. And we got some folks behind there that are just running and making laws, and they basically allowing everything and anything. The wicked king seem to be able to escape the gavel of being sentenced to jail, but those who are doing the right thing seem to be going to jail all the time. We want to give certain people life. There was a woman who down in Florida, and I haven't followed up on that case. Some of y'all might have heard about it about 2 years ago. This woman who had been being abused by her ex-husband or a former boyfriend or something. She had a whatchamacallit against him already. Basically, he wasn't even supposed to come to her house. I think they had a kid together, but she decided that, you know, she had to get a gun. She had a gun permit, and she fired a warning shot in her own home, in the roof, and was basically, they wanted to put her in prison for firing that gun in her own house because she was trying to get this man to get up out of her house. He had already abused her and jumped on her. She didn't want him in her house. But you see what happens nowadays? The criminal, the thug, the one that's doing all the abusing, he seems to be getting rewarded. and this woman might have to go to jail in due time for what? Defending herself. We live in a post-Christian society, my friends. We need to get it in our heads, 646-668-8468, that Jesus Christ is coming back real soon. He's coming back very soon for the believer, not the make-believer. Let's move on. Number 9. Number 9 says, Proverbs 20, verse 9, who can say I have cleansed my heart? I am pure from my sin. No one is without sin. As soon as we confess our sin and repent, sinful thoughts and actions begin to creep back into our hearts and minds. We all need ongoing cleansing, moment by moment. Thank God he provides forgiveness by his mercy, and when we ask for it, make confession and repentance a regular part of your talks with God. Rely on him moment by moment. This is so true, because there's a saying going around, or people seem to be going around saying, well, I don't need to confess my sins because I asked Christ to come into my life and I don't need to confess my sins no more. That's a lie from the pit of hell. We all need to confess every day. And it's not confessing to be saved, but because I'm saved, I want to be in fellowship with God. I want to come before God's people and be able to preach the word with power, with an anointing. I don't want to come and I'm in my mess and I'm trying to hide my sin and trying to read and proclaim the word with passion and power, but yet I got this sin that I'm dealing with and I haven't got right with God. God wants us to get clean. We need to be washed with the blood. We need to be continually seeking him. And yesterday I talked about how it's important for us, if you go back and listen to yesterday's message, we need to be soaking in Christ. There needs to be a daily time where we spend, within 24 hours, that we spend, put some time aside, 15, 20, 30 minutes, that we spend in soaking in the presence of God and seeking him. Don't say nothing. Just say, Lord, I need you to talk to me. First you get right with God, you confess, and then you say, Lord, I just want to sit here and hear from you. I want to hear from heaven. I want to get my mind and my heart right. Before you go to work, before you go wherever you got to go. Look, many accidents, many people are killed on the highways every day. We're not armored up. We're not prayed up. Many of us go to work naked. And Satan is saying, okay, I see they're not armored up. Let me get in their mind. We're listening to things. We're putting polluted things in our minds. We're listening to a lot of this junk on the radio. And we call it, oh, well, I got a right to listen to it. Yeah, you got a right to grieve the Holy Spirit if you want to do that. But don't expect God to reward you for that. You listen to bump and grind music. Some people out there promoting R. Kelly. This dude not promoting the cross. He not promoting Jesus. What Jesus is he talking about? His music is godless. Because he's godless. You can't serve two masters, my friend. You're going to love one and hate the other. You can't serve two masters. You know why Satan will give people ministries and let them be in the secular world? Because he wants you to be lukewarm. He know where the lukewarm people are going to be at, in the lake of fire. What is he? What do we see here and here? Proverbs tells us again, Proverbs 20, verse 9, no one is without sin. I'm a sinner. I still struggle. But guess what, friends? I'm not naive that I can come before you and not be clean and right. I'm not walking around here looking for more opportunities to sin. I want more opportunities to be about God's business. Because my days are numbered down here. I don't know when it might be the last day on earth for me. But I just want to know when I die that he will say to me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's all I want to hear him say. Not you hypocrite, depart from me. Read Matthew 7 and see what's happening to the religious folks. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons and do great works? And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I don't know you. Now, God, the Son, knows everybody. But what he's saying is, I have no relationship with you. You're not part of the bride. You're not in the marriage ceremony, my friend. Our God is an awesome God, a holy God, but he's not fooled by shenanigans and God talk. He's not fooled by shenanigans and God talk. He wants to know us. He wants us to know him. We need to be cleansed every day. We need to confess our sins daily, sins of omission and sins of commission, because it's something we thought wrong, it's something we maybe watched that was wrong, it's something that we done that was wrong, but we need to confess every day. Number 10, 2010, differing weights and differing measures, both of them are an abomination to the Lord. This is being a snake trying to manipulate business deals, or you're trying to do some shady business deals, cheating on your taxes, whatever it may be. There is to be justice. But how can justice be given when the weights are constantly shifting? Look at our society right now. Look at our society. There's an imbalance of how we treat one group of people over another. I'm not talking about just all black people aren't doing everything right, just like all white people don't do everything right. We can't play the victim as African Americans no more. Yes, we need to speak against ungodliness and wickedness. We need to speak against when people are treating us bad because of our color. But some folks bring some things upon themselves. But still, there has to be a balance. I don't care what color a person is. If you love Jesus, you're my brother and you're my sister. I don't get caught up in that. You're not saved because of your race. You're saved because of the cross of Christ. Jesus didn't die for black, white. He died for the sins. He died for sinners who needed to be saved. And he wants to save all who would come to him by faith. There is to be justice. But how can justice be given when the weights are constantly shifting? Satan is the mastermind behind the unbalance. You have to know who your enemy is before you can know how to get out of his way, how to get in back in line with God. We have to know who our enemy is. Our enemy is not a person of color. Our enemy is the God of this world who basically blinds the mind of those who are under his control. And when you don't have the Holy Spirit, definitely you are a vessel with an ungodly, unclean spirit can possess you and oppress you. Be sure there is fairness and justice in how you treat others. Sisters and brothers, if you're African American, treat everybody the same. Don't let the devil pimp you. Don't let him use you where you won't love people based on a color. Don't make everything about color. If somebody else chooses to be racist, you choose to be loving. Because God said we should love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors ourselves. He didn't say love the neighbors that love you. He said love the neighbor. Love your neighbor. If they can't stand you because you're black, you just keep praying for God to love them, where he will open their eyes. You show them kindness when they come in with you with hatred. I know it ain't easy. But guess what? It's what God requires of us. I'm not going to hell because of my pride. I'm not going to let my pride take me to hell. I want to walk with Jesus on streets of gold. I hope y'all are going to be there with me. Proverbs 20:11 says, "It is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself if his conduct is pure and right." Huh? A person's character is displayed by their actions. We should make sure that our actions are right and pure. Huh. Get pulled over by the cop, how you respond is all that matters. How God sees us responding, even when evil comes and knocks on the door, how are we going to respond? That's all that matters. See, because I got to give an account to God. I don't give an account to man first. I'm going to give an account to the Almighty. A person's character is displayed by their actions. We should make sure that our actions are right and pure. I already know what the devil is trying to set us up for. You have to know who your enemy is before you get to that point. If somebody comes and tries to shape your thinking and try to bring you into a place where they got you thinking wrong and thinking about, oh, the black man this and the white man undid this to me and all these different types of hatred. This is ungodly and wicked. This is not the heart of God's people. We belong to heaven. Ephesians 2 tells us we already been, no, Ephesians 1 says we've been given everything we need to live a godly life. Well, put that on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you won't have no problem in walking in the Spirit. But when we start to walk in the flesh, we get in our mess, and we get caught up. I could care less what color you are. Do you know Jesus? That's what my only mission on life right now is, to make sure people know Jesus. I don't serve a white Jesus, a black Jesus, a purple Jesus. I serve the King of Glory. And when he comes back, friends, he's coming back for a bride that's without spot or wrinkle, his church. It's not a building. We're the building. We're the body, made of many dynamic people, many different people all over the world, all walks of life. Don't let the devil keep you from that. Don't let the devil keep you out of the kingdom because of hatred, because of stinking thinking. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, I believe it says, as a man thinketh, or a woman thinketh, so is he. You think like hate. If you think like the world thinks, you'll get caught up in this foolishness. You allow the enemy to shape and mold your character instead of God giving you a new heart and a new mind. Number 12, Proverbs 20, verse 12. The hearing ear and a seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Every good we possess comes from God. We should neither use our eyes nor our ears nor anything we possess to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but all things should be in submission to the Lord. Your body don't belong to you. Your body parts don't belong to you. Your hands, your feet, your eyes. Job said, I have made a covenant with God that I may not use my eyes for lust, that I may not look at a woman with lust upon my eyes. We all struggle with these things. None of us are perfect. None of us are immune from it. Lust is all around us. We live in a country where the porn industry is $6 billion industry a year? No, $12 billion industry a year and growing. But guess what? We can make healthy choices. That's not just some food you buy. We can make healthy choices when we follow a holy God. We can make healthy choices, friends, when we follow a holy God. Because he said, be ye holy, because I'm holy. And God didn't give us a platform to do these things and not equip us to do it. Remember, according to Ephesians 1, we have all the spiritual gifts, all the spiritual blessings that we need to complete the task. The issue is, are we going to do what God calls us to do? I'm going to have to hold this because my phone going dead, y'all. So I got to have to plug it up. So we see here, we need to have ears to hear spiritually, eyes to see spiritually, so that we can, he says, the Lord has made them both for his glory, not for us. Not for us to use them for perversion. But all things should be in submission to the Lord. Don't present your body as, remember, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, blameless. Number 13, Proverbs 20, verse 13. Do not love sleep or you will become poor. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with food. In other words, here again, he reminds us about the sluggard, that person that refuses to work, don't want to work, don't know the meaning of work. There's a proper time for rest and sleep, but not when it is planting and harvest time. Use your time wisely. In other words, hey, if you don't prepare for the future, you won't have much to invest. I don't know how much time we got left here, but guess what? It's going to come a time when you might not have no money because you didn't plan for the future. You can only do so much. Now, for us as believers, I know my heaven is my home is heaven, so guess what? I'm not going to be here that much longer anyway. None of us are as believers. Two more to go, friends. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 20, chapter 20, verse 14. I keep saying verse. Bad, bad, says the buyer, but when he goes his way, then he boasts. The purchaser says the item is worthless, yet after they buy it, they brag on what a good deal they just got, or how they manipulated with dishonesty or dishonest gain. You know how everybody trying to do a hustle nowadays. And a lot of folks claim to be Christians and they want to do some kind of hustle, some kind of scam. But I can hook you up. Friends, don't take the hookup. All hookups can get you arrested and hooked up, get you put in a jail. You know, if the deal sound too good to be true, probably because it is. God's not concerned about us trying to get the best deal, especially if that deal going to cost us. God wants us to walk in integrity. So everything that's it might be seem like a good deal. You might have somebody that work for the cable company. They're going to come hook you up. It ain't worth it, friend. It ain't worth it. You know, it's stealing. Bottom line, don't take the hookup. There are things that people consider of great value in this world, but the scripture says that speaking knowledge is more valuable. I'm sorry, I skipped. Proverbs 15:20-15 says, there is gold and an abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing. I talk about this all the time. I don't want to be rich, because I'd rather be rich with God's wisdom and knowledge like Solomon. I'd rather seek understanding and knowing more about God than I would about getting more of what this world has to offer. I don't want nothing that's going to distract me and keep me from the kingdom of heaven, because I have allowed the enemy to come in and pimp me with these dangling these carrots of perversion and these things that the world is chasing after. If God ever was to bless me financially, I pray that the only thing I can pray is, God, make sure that I'm wise. Make sure that you guard me. Make sure you guard me. I want to stay right in your will, following your way. There are things that people consider of great value in this world, but the scripture says that speaking knowledge is more valuable than them all. I would like to think that, hey, there's a lot of people here today, that these words were words of knowledge. They go beyond to your physical need. They go beyond your bank account. They go beyond what you think is important or what you might have thought was important before you came here today. What's more important? The wisdom of God, pursuing after the wisdom of God, or pursuing after the things of the world, the flesh and the devil? Because, see, all the things of the world and the flesh and the devil offer you, you have to continue to go back to look for them. You're still trying to find some value in them. You're still trying to find some truth in them. And it does carry you around this merry-go-round, this circle, searching for answers and coming up spiritually bankrupt. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for this time in the Word. We thank you, Lord God, for your truth, the words that you've given us, Lord, which are the words of life and godliness, Lord. We don't have to seek outside of who you are, Lord, to find answers, Lord. All we need to do is soak in you. All we need to do is just bathe in your wisdom, bathe in your Word, that we may know you and the power of your resurrection, so we can be truly free. You said, to whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody right now that does not have a personal relationship with you, might be somebody here, Lord, that's been trying to walk with you in religion, or they've had their Bible, they've read their Bible, but they just don't seem to get anything from the Bible, because they have been seeking you, but they've been seeking you with their mouth, but their hearts are so far away from you. Or they read the words, Lord, but they have no understanding. Lord, today could be the day, if they hear the voice of the Lord, that they can be truly set free. They can truly come by faith alone to Christ alone and be redeemed by you. I pray, Lord God, let these words of my mouth be acceptable in your ears this day. And we pray, Lord God, that you would touch all who had ears to hear today and eyes to see. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you. We said amen, amen, and amen. Blessings, blessings, blessings to my brothers and sisters. God bless each and every one of you today for spending some time here in God's Word with me. I pray that this message has ministered to you. I'm going to leave the phone lines is open if you would like to call in. 646-668-8468. We'll give it about 5 minutes, and we'll... if you'd like to just share a comment, if you'd like to share what you thought of the message, if you have a question that I might be able to answer, please, I want to ask you to, you can call in now, 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. If you have a prayer request, now is the time you can call in, and we can lift you up in prayer. I know some of you guys are going to be going to the house of the Lord tomorrow. I pray for your fellowship time, your time of worship. I want to encourage you guys, don't just go to the house of the Lord or go to fellowship just to hear the word of God. Go there to be one that you could be able to lift up a brother or sister there. Make sure that you you're in a large church, if you're in a church where you don't know everybody there, go there and be a blessing. Go there and with an attitude that you want to get to know some of your sisters and brothers, and you want to be able to encourage them in the faith. There are people going through a lot of things, and because of what you might have went through in life and how God brung you through, you could be able to lift them up and encourage them and pour some love on them and say, sister, I've been through this, or, you know, I struggle with this too. Let's hold each other up. Let's pray for each other. We all need one another, friends. There are no such thing as I'm a Christian and I'm a private Christian and I'm all alone and I'm all by myself. That's not Christianity. Christianity is about family. It's about community. Christianity is about us walking and encouraging and building up one another in their most holy faith. 646-668-8468. All of us need one another, friends. I need you guys to stand with me and pray with me. I need you to pray for this ministry. I need you to pray for that God would meet my needs. I need you to pray that God will continue to use me, and that this gospel message, this message will go forth and touch lives and touch people all over the world. And that everywhere I go, that I would be bold, just as bold on the internet as I would in public. I need that from you guys. So we need each other. We are only as strong as the people that encourage us, the people that build us up in our most holy faith. And we all need one another. We all need iron sharpens iron, the Bible tells us. So it's important for us to sharpen one another. And you're only going to be sharp when you're in the Word. You're soaking in God's Word. You're seeking wisdom, studying, spending time to know Him. God wants us to know Him. 646-668-8468 is a calling number. If you have prayer requests, if you have something to share, if you want to just comment on the message that was shared today, please call in so we can lift you up and encourage you. And I want to encourage you also on this. If you're not in church, you need to find your Bible teaching church. If you need help finding a Bible teaching church, please hit me up on Facebook. If you got burned in the church and you're bitter, that's okay. Be bitter, but be obedient. God has not left you to be alone and worship Him apart from His people. God wants you to be a part of the family. He wants you to be in a place where you can grow and be encouraged and use your spiritual gifts for the encouraging of building up of the saints. There's no long range of Christians that, you know, oh, I just stay at home and watch church on the internet. Well, it's a brother and sister there, or a sister there for the ladies that needs to be encouraged. She's going through some things, and she needs you to stand with her in the gap and pray for her. She needs you to speak life into her. We're not called to be sitting at home, and I'm not talking about people that can't get to church because of their sickness or something, but I'm talking about people that just refuse to go. That's not of God, friends. That is not of God. We need one another. I can't wait to get to the house of the Lord tomorrow. I've spent one message I'm in there hearing the word. Another message, I'm out there being greet them, and I'll encourage them, and welcome to Core Church. Welcome to Core Church. And again, I want to invite you, if you're in the Los Angeles area, please come check us out, Core Church, Los Angeles, tomorrow morning, 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30 noon. Please come check us out. Be encouraged. Be built up. You know, watch people of all races and all ethnicities come together and build one another up. I was at a home Bible study yesterday with some brothers, some Spanish brothers, and people of all nationalities was there. And it's beautiful that the body of Christ, because that's how heaven's going to be. There's no black church, no white church, Korean church or Chinese church. We are all part of the family of God. Different fellowships, different body parts, but yet we are all one body when we come together to worship Jesus Christ in the spirit and truth. I see we don't have any phone calls, so we're going to just go out with a song. I'm going to share this song again. I love this song. I Will Trust in You by Lauren Daigle. And you guys just be blessed, be encouraged. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and give you His peace. And again, continue to pray for this ministry. The Lord will have it put it on your heart. If you can donate to the GoFundMe account, please do so. But most of all, your prayers are needed. Until we meet again, my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you with this song. Will you trust in him? Will you truly trust in Jesus? Let it all go. Give it all to him. Bless you. Remember, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes before the Father except by him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. God bless you. Have a blessed day. In Jesus' name.